Hello everyone, today on Scottish Memories we are chatting to Martell Maxwell. So how are you all? Hope you are all happy and healthy and safe out there. Thank you for joining us again for another Scottish Memories. Before we get started, if you haven't already, please remember to hit that subscribe button, hit the like or leave a comment, a rating, a review if you're listening to podcast or if you're on YouTube. It would be lovely to have you here. But today we are chatting to Martell Maxwell. Martell is a journalist, a writer, a radio and television presenter, and since 2017 she's been one of the co-hosts of Holmes Under the Hammer. Martell, hello, how are you?
I'm good, thank you, Tony. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you so much for sparing the time and coming to chat with me today. It really means the world.
My pleasure. I'm so delighted to be here. What a brilliant thing you're doing.
It's fun as well. It anything to sort of help us out, help Scotland out during this wee time. And plus, it's so nice to sort of just chat to people about, you know, our home, really. It's nice. It's fun. Yeah.
Well, you came to the right person. You know, I now live in the Perthshire Hills, quite close to Dundee, where I was brought up. But when I lived in London, even in London, I would be the daft wee Scots lassie who, after a few beers, would recite Robert Burns and sing Scottish songs. I mean, I'd wear tartan. I'm so Scottish, it's unbelievable. It's just, you know, it's in you, isn't it?
It is a bit. I've been in your position because I went to drama school in London. So I was down there for about 6-7 years and I was the only Scots guy in my year. So, you know, there was you had to represent, really, you know.
Yeah, and it's the most annoying thing for me was like this reputation of Scots being tight. I think it's more just, you know, Aberdonians. But so I would always, whereas we know the truth, the Scots are like the most generous people in the world. But I would always go out my way to be getting all the rounds in at the bar. But what astonished me in London when I was a journalist down there was when people said they're going for one, sometimes they meant it. Whereas I was like, what do you mean? You can go to the pub for one. That's novel.
Yeah, I know. It took, you know how long it took me to get used to, obviously I'm Edinburgh, so it took me so long to get used to the pub shutting at 11. And that really threw, I was like, because they were going out at like 7 o'clock and I was like, I'm not ready yet. Why are you going out now? And then done, 11 o'clock. I was like, oh, that's why you went out at 7. Okay, right, okay.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen?
You should have done what I did. I found a job as a showbiz reporter, which was just basically a free bar for years, and I never learned the art of having a Diet Coke or leaving the bar early.
No,
and you can blame the genes. I've got a bit of Irish in me as well, so I had no hope, really, did I?
Did you ever? You remember the old Billy Connolly sketch where he was like, he goes, "My wife used to think a pint was that size," because he go, "I'm away for a pint," and then he'd come back, like, "Oh, where you been? I've been away for a pint." So before we get properly started, how are you? Are you healthy and well? Everything okay? Yeah.
Great, thank you. This awful thing gets things in perspective. You're just happy that your family's fine. I've got 3 wee boys tearing around age 7, 5 and 3, soon to be 4 and 6, and so that keeps me so just cleaning all the time. And I'm learning
that.
You, congratulations, I hear you've got a wee baby.
Yes, we have. She's almost 8 weeks old now, so yeah, it's a lot of cleaning, even for the amount of clothes she gets through for someone so small.
Yeah, and you're still in the yellow poo stage, so it's like it kind of can go everywhere though.
Yeah, she had a little bit of colic. We're kind of managing to stay on top of that, but she did have a little bit of colic. But since we've sort of got on top of that, I don't mean to be, you're a mum, you know, the poos are flying now. It just seems to never end. I don't know where she's making it all.
Never end. Yeah. I know. Oh God, yeah. Try having 3 boys. I'm so outnumbered. And then, but with boys, the chat turns to poo as well. And I'm right in there as well. I've become a wee boy. I'm like, yeah, I'm fully boyed up here. There's not a girl in this house.
I know. I've got to learn how to look after a girl. You know, I'm like, I've got, it's terrifying, but amazing at the same time.
You'd be brilliant.
So you're a Dundonian. You're a Dundee lass.
Yes.
What was growing up in Dundee like then?
Well, weirdly, I was born in London to a Dundonian mum who left Dundee at age of 16, told her mum, my gran, she was off on her holidays for 2 weeks. She came back like 8 years later.
Wow.
And she, in Dundee, she met another Dundonian. Sorry, in London, she met another Dundonian. So she actually found Lochy, if anyone knows Dundee, Lochy is a very salubrious place in Dundee, not really, but lovely. And they both lived around the corner from each other. They were both back from London in the Rowntree pub, Hogmanay. And my mum said, oh, I live in London. She was 16 at the time. He said, so do I. I'll give you a lift back down the road. They hooked up. Then mum came back to Dundee by herself. They split up when I was two. So I've been back in Dundee since I was two. And then I spent a long time like living in, from the age of 18, I maybe went to Edinburgh Uni and then lived a bit in Dundee again, Glasgow, London, Australia, but have come back to my roots because I ended up marrying the first boy I ever kissed, also a Dundonian who I met when I was five. And first school disco, age 13, we kissed. And 20 years after that, so when I was 33, he said, will you be my girlfriend?
That's lovely.
Yeah, so, yeah, I suppose if you cut through me, it might say Dundee or Scotland, but I never saw it coming, you know, but, and I never thought I'd live in the middle of nowhere. I'm like properly in the middle of nowhere, just fields up the Perthshire Hills near Dundee, but I love it.
That's beautiful. The first kiss, that's sweet. If I was to do that, obviously, I didn't marry the first woman I kissed, but the first girl I kissed got me in trouble because I was four.
French kiss?
No, I grabbed and kissed her. I can't remember this. Apparently, it was in the cloakrooms at primary school, and a girl called Alison. And apparently, I just grabbed her and kissed her, and then her mum showed up at my mum's house, and said, "Your son kissed my daughter." It was like, oh, I don't remember this, but I do know that I do remember that she then ended up working in my mum's shop, so that worked out well for her. For the mum,
it worked out well.
Yeah. Random little thing that I remember. So growing up, obviously you've explored Scotland a lot. Living wise, you've been all over the place. But growing up, was it holiday wise the same? Did you get to explore Scotland holidays, or was it abroad mostly?
I was talking to my mum last night about this because my first recollection of going on holiday, I have to admit, was like when I was 8 years old, and mum said it was just me and her, and you know, we weren't rolling in it. So I remember her saying, we're going to Tenerife, I got a £99 flight. That sticks in my head, first time. So we're going off to Tenerife. I was speaking to mum last night. I said, where did we go again on holidays? Because I have such vivid memories, but she had to tell me where it was. So she said, when I was about six, I said, mum, where was it we went when I was six and I got stung on the bum three times? I think it was in a sandpit or something, and I think it was bees. And she said that was a caravan park near Kirkcaldy. She thought it was called Heather something. I tried to look up, I couldn't see any note of it. She thought it was Heather something, and it was near Kirkcaldy. It was billed as a luxury caravan park, and she said there wasn't much luxury about it. There was an on-site restaurant, and the restaurant was in another caravan. And the only thing sadly I can remember from that is the bee sting. So that's not a great start. But I've got loads of memories. Aberfeldy. So mum remarried, and her husband had a wee kind of timeshare thing in Aberfeldy. So every year they'd have a couple of weeks there, and that's so beautiful, and there's so much to do.
Aberfeldy's lovely.
And the surrounding area and the whiskey distilleries. If you want to find out about Scotland, it's like Scotland on steroids. And they've got, you know, a chocolate making factory that sells the most exquisite chocolates, and the rolling hills and the mountain walks. So we went there for a couple of weeks every year, and it's called Moness Country Club. And it's quite a good tip, because if you have a wee timeshare there, you can get an exchange with somebody of the same star rating, say in America or, you know, Australia or Spain. So if you're living in England and think, there's some sort of exchange that goes on.
Right.
So that's quite good because they've also had other holidays. Having been there for the last, I don't know, 30 years, every year, sometimes they have a wee week somewhere else because they do an exchange. So you kind of don't have to pay for it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. My head goes to films because that's just the way my brain works. Is that not kind of like how the film The Holiday with like Cameron Diaz and Kate Winslet and Jude Law and someone else, Jack Black, I think. That's what they did. They just swapped homes and went and lived in each other's homes for a little bit kind of thing. Yeah, that makes perfect sense, though.
Yeah, it's exactly like that. I've never done that, but Mum's done it. She's gone to America and had some super holidays. But I think that if you were not from Scotland and you wanted to explore heritage or whatever, I mean, it's an amazing place to be. And it can be very sunny and dry. Because while I've got amazing memories of Loch Lomond, Morwith Pals, Hindus, it doesn't get more beautiful either. It's just gorgeous, but I do remember it being a bit more wet sometimes on the West Coast.
Well, we can't really avoid that here, really, though. It's just part and parcel. I think whenever, and I'll be the same, I'll ask you later on as well, but whenever I've asked people for hints and tips, one tip that always comes up is have a rain jacket, have a cagoule or an umbrella, because it's going to rain, but it's part of the beauty, really. That's why we're so beautiful in green.
Yeah, absolutely. And also the midgy spray. There's like this amazing one by Avon that isn't actually a midgy spray, but it got cult status because it works. So you need to look that up as well. If you're coming to Scotland, it's by Avon and it's an amazing thing for that. The other one I remember is Creef Hydro. I think that was a wee bit above our pay grade. That was quite posh. But friends at school took me there and also amazing, Perthshire. I think it got voted the best family holiday you can have by Sunday Times and various magazines. And it is astonishing. And you'll know, you'll be looking at that wee girl soon.
Yeah, yeah.
Where to go. That's the sort of place where you can stay in lodges. You can stay in the hotel itself. And it's got everything. It's got swimming, a giant inflatable chute for the kids. The kids are never bored. It's got a giant chess set outside that you kind of, you know, stand on and move. It's got Connect Four outside. It's got tennis courts. It's got archery. It's amazing. It's even got, you pay a tenner if you want, listen to this. You're going to love this. You pay a tenner to go into the Victorian baths, which is for adults only. Meanwhile, you can get your kids looked after free for 2 hours every day in the little area.
Wow.
Which is amazing.
Yeah.
And the... So I've become more of an expert recently on family ways to
I'll be taking all these hints and tips. It's everything's changing for us now, so I'm listening intently.
the just like Creef Hydro as well, which I remember you couldn't get a drink. Not that I needed one; I was too young. But it was actually an alcohol-free zone until 1994. So I think it had quite religious connotations. People who ran it were quite religious and couldn't get a drink there till 94, which is terribly un-Scottish. Also, Glen Eagles. Not cheap, but it's got the same principles of family. Brilliant. The pool, the kids club where you can have a couple hours to yourself and just so much to do. The golf, the tennis, everything's there.
Yeah, that is one of these things that I think, because obviously, as I was saying to you before we probably got started, that a lot of the people that I'm lucky enough to watch a channel, they're from all over the world, but it varies in family. You know, sometimes it's someone on their own or a couple or a full family, and each holiday is completely different. And I think you're the first person I've spoke to who's actually started to say about all the activities for kids, because a lot of people, you know, it's saying, oh, well, we've got these beautiful hills or castles and things. But you're right. You want something for the whole family, don't you? It's sometimes, it never even popped into my head before.
You want something for the whole family unless you don't have kids or you've got a rare weekend away with your partner, in which case you don't want to feel like there's loads of kids. And I think places like Creef and even more so Glen Eagles make it a real experience for you if you don't have kids. Because say in Glen Eagles, you've also got the adults only pool area. You've got a spa that you can go to. It's fine dining. So you can kind of have both, which I love and I think is really clever.
Yeah, yeah. I think these are the kind of things that for anyone visiting, you've got to know. Everyone's always asking me about where's a nice castle to visit, where's a, you know, what sort of things that, or what's a good tour to do. But it's one of the things that I think that there's a lovely family that follows the channel, and it's a gran and her grandkids, and she's bringing them all over next year. She's sent loads of comments, sent them all over next year. She's bringing all her grandkids. She asks them questions. I do weekly videos on a Saturday as well, you know, about here's this, here's that, and she asks them questions about the video that I've put up. And the person that gets the most questions right wins spending money for when they come over from her.
Aww.
Isn't that lovely?
Isn't that lovely?
It is.
And where
really
does she live?
In America. I can't remember where in America, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But she is in America and all her grandkids and everything. But I think they are more teenage-y sort of thing. But then that's a difficult thing to try to get them to do as well. You know, try to. I suppose it's a nice way to get them interested.
Yeah, and I think when you do, say, live in America, you become even more Scottish. Like, my sister's in America, and she showed me her Christmas tree, and it's got tartan baubles all over it, and she's with her American boyfriend, who couldn't look more American if he tried, you know, square jaw, muscly. But she's missing Scotland. She's missing it so much. I would not be doing my civic duty if I didn't big up Dundee just now. I don't know if you... Have you heard about Dundee? Like, it was always kind of...
I've definitely heard about Dundee.
I mean, have you heard about Dundee being cool?
Being honest.
It was too long.
I've been to a stag do at Dundee. And that was quite full on, if I remember. But cool? No.
No, okay. So I'm a Dundee ambassador, by the way, which I'm very proud of. But the thing is, GQ voted Dundee coolest place to live in the UK. Coolest city to live in the UK. It's getting huge plaudits. Sunday Times said it's the best, I think they said quality of life or up and coming place. We've had £1 billion pounds of investment in the waterfront, because we're the only city I can think of that has that. You're on the waterfront. And the V&A Museum, the only one outside London, has come to Dundee, and it has just now a Mary Quant exhibition. You've got the Discovery Ship you can go and see. People genuinely are loving it. I've never seen so many restaurants, hotels. Obviously, it's really hard just now for them, but there's a real buzz about the place, I promise you, Tony. And it's the place. And what I love about Dundee too is that 25 minutes away, you've got St Andrews. You've got the old course that you can go and play golf on. You've got Carnoustie for golf. You've got Edinburgh's only an hour away.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, you will remember us in Dundee, not all about Glasgow and Edinburgh. It's so easy to get to. And it's an hour from Aberdeen.
I've been to a stag do in Dundee, and I've been fortunate enough to do some filming in Dundee back in my performing days. You're right, you're absolutely right. You were right on the water there, and it is lovely. It really is beautiful. I've just not explored it enough as, and I think we're all kind of a bit bad for this, Scots. I've not explored it enough as a tourist is to go and enjoy it. Especially coming from Edinburgh, you're absolutely right. As an Edinburgh person, I know Edinburgh, I've been to Glasgow a lot, but the other three main cities, Aberdeen, Dundee, Inverness, I've not really explored them as enough as I should, really.
Yeah. As a tourist a few years ago, it wasn't as good as it is now, because they've just opened up the waterfront and you've got it there and it's stunning and you can have various experiences. So it's good. Really good.
I do really want to get there to see the V&A Museum, because that's been such a buzz since it opened, really.
And it's free. I mean, the special exhibitions they have on are not free, but it's, if you like your fashion, your textiles, your design, that's what it's all about. And the general, the entry's free. You can go and see exhibitions, but the special guest exhibition you pay not much for. And also, if you want to come to Dundee, it's a bit cheaper, as you might have noticed on your stag do. Like, for a pint, it's probably definitely cheaper than Edinburgh.
Oh, definitely, definitely. I definitely got more drunk than I would have got here, if that makes sense.
When I got together with my husband as well, I was a showbiz reporter in London, and he said to me, I'll take you up to this wee cottage that we use, it's mum and dad, and it was in Lochinver. And it's, but it wasn't even Lochinver, so right up past Inverness, north, north, north. But it was outside Lochinver, there was nothing around, and there was a power cut, and it was the most magical and scary incident I've ever had, because that's true remoteness. We're pretty remote here, but there was not a light. You could just see lights from maybe, you know, 10 miles away on a road. That's all you could see. And I also love that kind of going away and just doing it by yourself. And, you know, it's nice to be weighted on hand and foot, but it's also nice just to be alone.
Yeah, no, I get it. Yeah. Soul. That sort of thing as well. I suppose we, at Scotland in general, we're quite lucky because from any city, it's really easy to get into the country, to get into nowhere. And that sort of thing you're saying, where you can get somewhere and there's no light pollution, and if it's a clear night, you can just go, has there always been that many stars? You know what I mean? Because it just, if there's no light whatsoever apart from just moonlight and things, it's spectacular. It really is.
And occasionally you'll see the Northern Lights. There especially, oh my goodness, but where we live in top of Perthshire Hills, we walked out one night, my father-in-law was around with his wife, my mother-in-law, for their birthday a good few years ago, and best birthday present they could ever get. And Jamie's dad loves all that kind of thing. We walked outside and there they were, bang. It was pitch black. It was a March, April night. We opened the doors and the sky was green.
Wow.
It happens. It really happens. And if you're in places like really north, it's not just a matter of chance. You can look into when a good time is to see them, and chances are you will.
Yeah, I know we've seen them here, believe it or not, once or twice. It does reach down here and again. I've never seen it, unfortunately, but I every now and again I'll see friends putting pictures up and I'm like, I missed that again. You started to touch it there, but obviously as a journalist and as a presenter and obviously with Homes Under the Hammer and things as well, is there places where, has anywhere pulled you in Scotland if you've had to go for work and you're like, oh, I love it when I've got to do something there? Have you got your favorite spots to work at?
Oh, absolutely. With Homes Under the Hammer, it's mainly England and Wales.
Yeah.
But let's see, I was doing this great show called On the Road. It was during the Commonwealth time when it was in Glasgow, so a few years ago. And I was hosting it with Fred McCauley. And our job was basically to go around Scotland, the length and breadth of Scotland, and, you know, interview people at Highland Games. Or I remember Orkney. Oh my word, I hadn't been to Orkney before. The cathedral, the people, the views, the Italian cathedral that was, there were Italians there from the war. An Italian soldier had fallen in love with a Scots girl. There was a heart stone, a heart made of stone commemorating their love. I started crying as I was interviewing the chap who'd been there during World War II, and it was his friend it was dedicated to, and he was telling me, I was welling up. It was just amazing and beautiful and serene and so Scottish. And I also remember my heartstrings being pulled when I was in the Borders. There are some places in the Borders that I'd never considered going to. And even wee things like, I stayed overnight in Gretna Green. I think it's called Smith's, or it's meant to be like Mr. and Mrs. Smith getting married. Gretna Green's famous for being married because you can get married in Scotland age 16. It's one of the first places you can come to from England. So people would run away to get married as opposed to wait till they were 18. And all these wee charming churches and hotels you get around Gretna that are still very much based on the kind of let's get married, like a Scottish Vegas, that you'll get. And the Borders themselves are lovely. And the Highland Games, my goodness, look up Highland Games. Look where you can go for Highland Games. It's all over Scotland. And I'm sure I went up to one near Inverness, and there's loads of Highland Games around Dundee and Perthshire. And if you want to see the caber being tossed and you want to see the Highland Fling, all the boys and girls dancing Highland Fling, which I used to do as a kid, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
I've got my boys. It's a shame, but I say it's a shame for them. They're enjoying it. But I've got them playing the chanter. He's only 7, my eldest. So as soon as he's play the bagpipes, I'm like, you're playing the bagpipes. I wouldn't get him to do it if he didn't enjoy it. He's enjoying it. My husband plays the bagpipes. When I've had too much drink, I sing Scottish. I sing, should I give you my song?
Yeah.
It's about whiskey. So Campbellton Loch is a beautiful place, but the price of the whiskey is grim. How nice it would be if the whiskey was free and we'd drink it right up to the brim. Oh, Campbellton Loch, I wish you were whiskey. Campbellton Loch, oh, hi. Campbellton Loch, I wish you were whiskey. I would drink you dry. So there's a lot more verses, and I can't remember them all, but it's about if a loch was filled with whiskey, how amazing would that be?
The Scottish dream, really, isn't it?
Yeah, totally.
That's, you're right, like, it's funny when you talk about that sort of thing. That was a completely off the subject, but you've brought it back. Scottish family parties, singing is always one of the big things that always happens, isn't it? I remember growing up when my mum and dad had friends and family around. After about an hour, 2 hours, it was always like, right, get the party pieces out, get singing, and everyone would have their own. It was always the same songs, though. Everyone had a song, you know what I mean?
Yeah. My problem is I don't shut up. Once I've had a few, like, I remember being in, like, 8 couples had won this raffle or something. We went to dinner on the Discovery ship in Dundee, which is Captain Scott's ship. Again, if you like your history, your naval history, look into that. Amazing. So we went for a meal there, and me and my husband, we just didn't stop singing. A few people did their party pieces. But when I was growing up, it was very much not children seen and not heard, but the party was for the adults, and I was allowed to be there and allowed to stay up late if I did a party piece.
Yeah.
So I had to do my Highland Fling, and I had to, you know, sing the song, and it's great, because I think being pushed like that, it could have made you very shy, but for me it went the other way, and I kind of just, you know, sang for my supper.
I'm exactly the same, though. I was very much, I had to sing, and I hated doing it in front of my family. Ironically, became a singer and performer. I don't know if that
had
anything
really?
To do with it. Yeah. I went to Mount View Drama School, and I used to sing, well, everywhere. I used to host a Scottish show in Edinburgh as well, and I did work professionally in musicals and things as well, and things until I moved back.
I'm going to have to look you up after this. I'm going to have to look you up after this interview.
It's been a while. It's been a little while. It's funny as well that you mentioned, I meant before I go back to the story, you mentioned Fred McCauley as well. Fred was the interview before you. Fred's the week before, so he was up last week, and Fred's lovely. He had a great time.
He is so lovely. And funny. Oh my God, have you seen his stand-up?
Yes.
His stand-up is outrageously funny.
I was talking to him before. There's a joke he did on Mock the Week that I can't say on this, because this is obviously a family friendly chat. But there's a joke where he says a phrase, and we keep quoting it to my father-in-law because he's known for being grumpy. And this phrase is, whenever he's grumpy, we just quote the punchline to this. But I'll tell you after I finish recording. But we just quote this punchline at him. And I told Fred McCauley, he loved it. And then my father-in-law said, "You're not coming back to the house. You're not welcome anymore." And I was like, and then ironically, I quoted that line back to him. the singing and the family sort of thing, you're right. You were allowed to stay at the parties if you had a song. Then every family member has a song. My dad's got 2 sisters. One of them actually is a nun. And they used to always sing the same song. They used to sing Sister, you know, Sisters, Sisters, na, la, 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 Sisters.
Yes.
And one family party, my auntie Anna, who's the nun, she was, you know, she wasn't able to come up because the strict rules of when she could come up. So Cecilia was like, well, how am I supposed to sing my song? She's not here. So my dad did it with her instead, the two of them singing Sister. But by this time, it was a family party. They were both half cut, and he's like properly getting into it. And it's that thing that I don't think you could explain a Scottish family party if you hadn't been to one, really.
No, absolutely. And maybe the closest you get is Irish. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm sure that's probably the same.
Yeah, what I'm so proud of as well is that we are a bit different, you know, with the kilts and the bagpipes, and it might sound cheesy, but I think that identity, a lot of people, you know, I know that when I lived in London, everyone sort of viewed you as the wee cousin. Everyone was fond of a Scottish person, really, which is why I don't like politics coming into things too much. I find there was a lot of love for Scots around the world. You know, you go to New York, I always used to go to Scotland Week, and that was amazing because it was just, it was just so much fun, and I got to interview people like Sean Connery and just great that's people.
I'm properly I did notice that you'd interview Sean. I'm properly jealous. I like many others was heartbroken obviously a few weeks ago when he unfortunately passed away, and when I saw that you interviewed him, I was like, oh, I'm so jealous. I'm so jealous that you got to meet him.
He was so just tall and statuesque and star presence, and you know, you knew he was there.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, I wonder why I lost my cool so much, because I didn't generally. It could be like Tom Cruise, I'm just like, they're only human. Ask a cheeky question. But I'd heard from so many people that he didn't suffer fools. You had to be very respectful. And oh my goodness, I was. But I also didn't have the courage to interrupt him. He was in full flow, having a rant about something. And but he shook my hand and he kissed me on the cheek and he said, pleased to meet you, Miss Maxwell. And he sat down and he had a kilt on that was quite a short kilt with his legs sort of opened on the just, and I just lost it. I was just like, and he raised his eyebrow like I needed one more thing. He raised his eyebrow and my mouth went dry. I forgot everything I was going to ask, but we got on well, thank goodness. Oof.
I think that he was ingrained into all of us though. I think there's something that we were all incredibly proud of that he'd achieved worldwide, and we sort of, Billy Connolly is the same. I think the two of them have a presence and a love from all of us. I know we're kind of on a different tangent here, but it's still Scotland. That is special about the two of them, really, isn't there? There really is, that we're so proud of what they've done and what they've achieved and who they were and are. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's pretty easy if you love these people to find out a bit about them. So to go to the tenement where he was born, if it's still standing, or to go to the, you know, that's what's quite nice about anyone anywhere in the world. You can go and sort of do your own wee pilgrimage.
Yeah, definitely. I've been asked a lot about that. I've been asked a lot about people saying, can you do it now in the past few weeks? Can you do a Edinburgh Sean Connery video, you know, about the places that he was known to, you know, where he grew up, where he was born. I know there's a plaque where he was born, and I can't go down to the old Portobello outdoor swimming pool where there's a lifeguard because it doesn't exist anymore. But, you know, the area's there and all these sort of nice things. But it's all that local history that everywhere, I'm sure Dundee's the same, all these little quirky little stories that are just nice.
Oh, you know, it's amazing. I mean? And yeah, Dundee's fascinating because it's you know, it's known for being quite a poor place, but it was a tale of two extremes, with jute barons living here. So Dundee's known for the three J's: jute, jam, journalism. The jute is like the underlay of carpets, the sort of rough sack. The jam is marmalade, which they say was invented here after a boat of oranges went off and somebody pulped it. And then you've got the journalism, which is DC Thompson's the Beano the Dandy. And my gran worked in the jute mill. She's only got half a finger. She tells me that I bit it off. You can still go and see the jute mills. Before they moved to India, there's so much, as you say, anywhere there's so much, but it's so amazing. You can actually visit an old jute factory and the Verdant Works, a museum showing you how people lived and they worked, and it was not an easy life, but so, so amazing to see.
And these lovely little things like that. I remember, and I didn't know this until I went there, but there's a beautiful statue of Desperate Dan in the middle. And it's a brilliant statue. I remember walking past it and I had to double take. So I was like, is that Desperate Dan? And then I've remembered the Beano and the Dandy and stuff, but it was just at first, it's not something you expect to see a statue of, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's brilliant. It's huge. It's iron, maybe it's made from iron. It's got Nasher there as well. So, and kids love it. They can pose with it. You can even sit in, it's so big, you can sit in his hands. Yeah, so that's special. There's loads going on. I know I'm like, yay, come to Dundee. But it's kind of taken me by surprise, if I'm being honest, how beautiful it's looking and how much I love being here. And I feel quite removed from everything too, which is nice. You know, I can walk around in my pants if I so wish. There's nobody around. I love it. But yeah, Dundee's awesome.
But that's what this is for, though, because obviously everyone talks about Edinburgh and Glasgow, but you're right, Dundee, Aberdeen, Inverness, they don't get the love they deserve, and people should go and see these beautiful places because they are beautiful.
Absolutely. There's just outside Dundee, it's known as the posh part of Dundee, Broughty Ferry, where people from Dundee used to go on their holidays. They'd go for a day trip there and back, but now it's kind of, this house is all continuing, so it's all part of Dundee, still known as the posh bit. It's an old fishing village. And I've got friends who come up and, oh my God, my favorite pubs are there. So you've got the Ship Inn right on the water, the River Tay, which is the longest river in the UK, I'm pretty sure. I'm really sure because my seven-year-old's doing a project on it at school and he told us. And then you've got the Fisherman's Inn. It's so low. It used to be a fisherman's tavern and it still looks like that. And I've got a lot of pals actually who, when they come up to see, say they live in London, they come up to visit parents, but rather than stay with them for 2 weeks and get on everyone's nerves, they hire an old fishing village, an old fishing cottage, which you can do. That's another top tip, to do that and have this kind of villagey feel. That's pretty awesome.
And you've actually just preempted me. I was about to ask, what would be your top tips for anyone wanting to come over
to Scotland? I would say, if you base yourself somewhere like Dundee, it's like on the Dundee Tourism Board, not just Dundee, base yourself somewhere, remember Glasgow or Edinburgh, it's pretty doable. So, you know, you can go everywhere. From Edinburgh, you can be in Glasgow on the train in under an hour. I'd say that Glasgow's amazing for when they open again, clubs and pubs and shops. Brilliant. My old landlady, Annie O'Hare, couldn't be more London if she tried. She used to come up to Glasgow with her pals. She was blown away because all the clubs and pubs were cool. There's a footballer, you've got all your designer shops, high street shops, all within walking distance. Edinburgh, a bit posher, a bit more old school. You've got your Harvey Nicks. You've got the Edinburgh Castle, but you can be there in under an hour. Again, on around an hour, you've got Dundee. Love your golf. Base yourself in Perthshire, Dundee. You've got Carnoustie. You've got Rosemount in Blairgowrie. You've got St Andrews. You can have everything. Then get on a train again, and you're in the Highlands. And you can. It's also doable, whether it's by train or car, and see as much as you can.
I think that
you go to the islands, Orkney and Skye, and I've never been to the amazing restaurant. Is it the Three Chimneys in Skye? You can be high end. You can have a wee cottage and just have yourself for company. There's so much I've not explored, but whenever I see wee gems, and I've been so lucky with my work, is that I'm like, this is amazing. If we had the weather, we'd be overrun. If we had the weather, but you can get the weather. That's the other thing. People think it snows here all the time. You get the most beautiful sunny days. It can
you
be the
really
same temperature
do.
Almost as London. Yeah.
Especially, I think at this time of year, we're end of November now, what I tend to find is, yeah, okay, it's cold. But at this time of year, we can get some beautiful clear. Like right now, if I look out my window, there's not a cloud in the sky. Yes, it's cold, but it is stunning. You know what I mean? We can, at this time of year, we can get incredible blue skies.
Even now with all the restrictions, that you're allowed to play tennis outdoors, so I just wrap up warm and I play a wee game of tennis, which I've sort of rediscovered during lockdown. I love it. Also look out for deals, because people are obviously offering deals. You've got your, you know, your Groupons. It Is On is particularly Scottish. It Is On, the website, look it up, and you get, you know, things for half price or 40%, whether it be hotel accommodation, fine dining. So supporting all these businesses while we can, but also there are great deals because a lot of people are not flush right now and need a wee bit of help.
Yeah, no, I'm a big fan of supporting local businesses. I'm always pushing, wherever you go anywhere, try to avoid the, yes, okay, maybe, and then you'll know what this like. If you've got a little one, maybe sometimes they'll want a Pizza Hut, they'll want a McDonald's. But if you can, go to a local restaurant, go to a local cafe, try something like that, because you're bound to find a gem. You're absolutely bound to find a gem.
And also the Scottish natural larder, the resources we've got, like all around us, we've got game as pheasant and deer, and sorry for offending anyone who doesn't want to be, you know, the langoustines, they catch langoustines off Loch Inver where we used to go on holiday, and then they're all shipped over to Portugal because there's more of a market for them there. But the fresh fish you can actually have here and find the right wee nooks and crannies for a wee restaurant, like you say, and so much you can find online now, is astonishing. We've got such great natural produce as well as good fish and chips.
Yeah, great fish and chips, proper fish and chips. I could talk to you all day, but I'm going to finish on what I like to call difficult questions for us Scots. So, shortbread or tablet?
Tablet.
That took a moment. You sure there? You had to think about that there for a second.
Yeah, I like shortbread, but there's something very indulgent about tablet. It's, you know, it's very sweet. It's very sweet and hard, and you know you've had a sweet. It actually makes you a wee bit high. It's so incredibly rich in sugar.
Just a little bit. We've got friends in America that we met on our honeymoon last year. And we're doing a gift exchange with them for, you know, because they've just had a baby as well. So we're like, we'll do a little gift. We'll send stuff. They'll send stuff. And I'm like, we need to put tablet in there because they'll have no idea what it is. They'll take a bite and they'll be like, oh my God.
Exactly. And when you say tablets, people, you know, in England, they have no idea what it is. So it's just, it's very hard and it's almost like, it's like fudge, but hard and sweeter, if that's possible.
Yeah. Yeah. Iron brew or whiskey?
Iron brew.
That was another hesitation.
Well, I had one night on whiskey and I drank whiskey all night. I didn't just have one. And I actually thought like I felt like I was going to die the next day. The hangovers with whiskey are not great. I love smelling it. I went to a whiskey tasting once. I was actually pregnant, but I didn't taste any. I just smelt them and I just smelt a wee bit. And there's a lot to learn. You know, there's an awful lot to learn. And I quite like a Highland Park. I do like a Highland Park whiskey, but I'd only have one. I'm not a big whiskey. I like everything else, but whiskey's, you know, pretty harsh the next day. Well,
yeah. Oh yeah, it can be. And it's funny how if you have a bad hangover on something, it can really put you off that thing, can't it? It can really just like, oh no, I can't.
Absolutely. And weirdly, yeah, but usually a hangover wouldn't be enough to put me off something, but I do find it quite strong in taste. It's not my kind of taste, but and it'd always be a diet iron brew, weirdly. I don't know why I prefer that, but even if I have fish and chip supper or sausage supper, I'll go for a diet iron brew, which is silly, but I don't know. I find that iron brew too sugary. I love that iron brew.
You like the new one though? Now they've changed it. Can you taste the difference?
You know,
they changed the recipes when the sugar tax thing came in. They changed the recipe slightly, and it caused a lot of people were like, "No." So, but
I don't think I've noticed.
I don't think I noticed either.
No, it must be okay.
Yeah. You preempted me a little bit because you studied in Edinburgh, so I can ask you this one as well. Although you're still East Coast. Chippy sauce, yes or no?
Yes.
Yes. Good girl. Yes, chippy sauce.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. There was this man I used to work with called Dick Saxty, who's no longer with us, and he was a Sun journalist, and he came up with the headline, "Freddie Starr ate my hamster."
And oh, right, that's proper famous headline there.
Proper famous headline. And I always remember him saying it's the one thing that he missed about Scotland. And every time I went back up, he lived in Manchester and I worked in Manchester for a bit. And every time I went back up the road, I used to get him some from a chip shop, like proper chippy sauce.
I interviewed Ashley Gray, who West End played Elphaba in Wicked and things, and she trained at Guildford. And I asked her the same question, and she's like, "Yeah." She goes, "Whenever I came back up to Scotland, she used to buy bottles of it from the chippy and take it back down with her." And all her flatmates were like, "What is this?" She's like, "This is chippy sauce. This is chippy sauce."
Did they like it? Did her flatmates like it?
I don't know. She never said, actually. She maybe just kept it all for herself.
Probably.
Haggis, neeps and tatties or mince and tatties?
Oh God, I love both.
These are the last two are the proper difficult questions.
Might have to be mince and tatties. My husband makes great mince for the boys, but when they leave some, I'll be devouring it. I'll be like, "Mince and can we just have that for our tea one night?" But then haggis, right? I'll go haggis because it's patriotic of me. And even though I only have it once or twice a year, she'd have it more as well.
Yeah. See, I would argue that mince and tatties is quite patriotic as well, though. It's a very Scottish dish. It's a very Scottish dish. Yeah, but okay, I mean, I've had a lot of people, like, as well, since I've started asking these questions, people learn more. A lot of people have been reaching out to me going, I'm trying to find a good mince and tatties recipes, but there's so many, and it's because it's a very personal thing as well. You know, your mum makes, everyone's mums make mince and tatties different.
Yeah, I mean, do you put garlic in your mince? Is that too newfangled? You know, onion and...
Yeah.
Yeah, and what do you have it with? Do you have it with tomato sauce? Right, I'm going to go haggis just because I do love haggis, and it can sometimes make a nice breakfast as well, like a bit of, you know, your black pudding and haggis, a good Scottish breakfast. Talk about the English fry-up, you also get a great Scottish fry-up. So it's a wee bit more versatile than I'm giving it credit for, not just Burns suppers. So I'm still going to go haggis, but I do love mince.
I had a haggis lasagna once. It was incredible.
You're kidding me.
No, it was amazing. It tasted delicious. It was so good.
In a restaurant?
No. It was. I used to, you're getting all my past history here. I used to work at the Edinburgh Dungeons. And one of the fellow actors just came in. He just made it. He made it at home and he goes, try some of this. And it blew my head off. It was amazing. It was so good.
Amazing.
You just didn't expect those tastes together, but it was so good. Mm. It was so good.
I'm going to look up a recipe.
Yeah. Last but by no means least, Tunnock's tea cakes or caramel wafers?
Tunnock's tea cakes.
Oh, see, that's generally the hardest one, but yeah, no issues there.
Just something quite nice about the contrast in textures of the marshmallowy, soft marshmallowy Tunnock's tea cake, and then you bite onto that biscuit bit. And there's something, it can just, it's one of those ones, it's like dunking a digestive in tea, it changes it. I feel like with the Tunnock's tea cake, it's unique in that you just feel you've inhaled it.
Yeah, I know. Whereas what you mean.
I like a caramel wafer, I do, but it doesn't as excite me as much.
That's that for some reason, that's the one that people really find difficult, because again, those sort of biscuits and things, they're ingrained in us, properly ingrained in us.
I found that quite an easy one.
Yeah. Marta, this has been absolutely brilliant. Thank you so much for sharing your time. I've had so much fun chatting to you. Thank you so much.
Me too. Me too, Tony. Congratulations on wee Lillian again. And thank you for having me.
Thank you, and keep yourself safe.
That was lovely. That was brilliant. That was so nice to have Martel there. She's so lovely. We had a great chat. I hope you guys enjoyed that. It was genuinely nice to have. It's always exciting to chat to someone who has a love of Scotland. But it's the first time I've had a chance to chat to someone who's got such a love of Dundee, because I don't have much experience of that. So that was really nice to get that perspective. So thank you once again, Martel, for sparing the time and come and chat to me. Guys, I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. If you did, please remember to hit that subscribe button, hit that like button, leave a comment. But till next time, bye, humans.